Is it possible that the greatest danger to your ministry isn't false doctrine? It's not lack of vision, and it's not opposition. It's not even burnout, and it isn't a shortage of spiritual gifts. The greatest danger could be becoming so occupied with leading others that you quietly stop allowing Christ to lead you. You know, the church today is fascinated with platforms and influence, leadership strategies, personality profiles, and discovering spiritual gifts. We like to ask questions like, am I an apostle? Am I a prophet? Am I evangelistic? Am I pastoral? Now, those are important questions because Christ himself gave those ministries to his church. But there's another question that must come first, and it's simply this: who am I becoming? The New Testament never separates ministry from maturity. Before Paul ever instructed Timothy on how to lead others, he challenged him to guard his own life. Before Jesus sent his disciples into the world, he first invited them to abide in him. The truth is, before Christ builds his church through us, he forms Christ within us. And here's the reality: gifting can attract people, but only character can sustain influence. A dynamic preacher can fill a room, a visionary leader may build an organization, a persuasive evangelist can reach thousands. But if the soul beneath the ministry is neglected, eventually the gift begins carrying a weight it was never designed to bear. And that conversation matters. And it's the conversation we're having today. It's all right here, right now, and only on the Five Gifts Podcast. You're listening to the Five Gifts Podcast, a weekly show designed to equip leaders in the Spirit-filled church. I'm Bruce Ritter, and along with my co-host Charles Russell, we offer insights for leading the local church in the fullest expression of Jesus. If you're interested in learning more about practical theology, the gifts of the Spirit, and spiritual disciplines, this is the show for you. Welcome to the Five Gifts Podcast. Welcome to the Five Gifts Podcast. I'm Bruce Ritter, along with Charles Russell. And today we're talking about the leader before the leadership. And we're going to spend time on talking about what it means to be formed as a leader before you exert your influence in leadership. And today we're going to talk about seven core commitments for servant leadership, for fivefold ministers. So I want to welcome you. Glad you could be with us today. Charles and I are recording on Monday morning. If you can catch us, maybe Monday afternoon, or maybe you're catching us on Wednesday morning, whenever, we're glad that you're here. Charles, hope you're doing well today.
Doing great, Bruce. Good to see you, and good to be with all of our listeners, viewers, however you're consuming this. Thank you so much for tuning in. And I've got to admit, I'm a little intimidated. Seven commitments. I don't know if I can make that many commitments in my life or not. That's going to be a stretch, but I think we'll get there. Bruce, it's a big week for you. And man, our prayers are going up for you. I know your daughter's getting married this week, and so we're going to celebrate and have a good time, as the song used to say. Welcome to the podcast, man.
Well, Charles, I appreciate you bringing that up. Maybe I can keep the tears at bay. my daughter's getting married this coming weekend, and I'm excited about that. A lot of family coming in, a lot of friends gathering, so we're anticipating a wonderful celebration for she and her soon-to-be husband. So, but she is my only daughter. She's my only child, and so it is a little... testing to my faith and my emotional sanity. So,
yeah.
But I'm excited to talk about our podcast material today.
Absolutely. Today we're going to explore seven core commitments, like you said, Bruce. And these commitments really, they form the inner life of every healthy fivefold ministry. Whether you're an apostle, establishing new works, a prophet, calling people back to God, maybe an evangelist who's proclaiming the gospel, even a pastor that's shepherding God's people. All the gifts, need these commitments. They're not optional. They're foundational. And so, before Christ asks us to equip the saints, he calls us to become saints who are continually being transformed ourselves.
Yeah, that's true. And, I think what if the greatest threat to ministry isn't gifting? I think we often have thought, man, this responsibility, this call in front of me is beyond my ability. I need the anointing of Christ. I need his empowerment. But the truth is that the greatest threat to ministry is not the lack of gifting. Christ promises that. It's not opportunity or resources. I think, Charles, it's really the neglecting of your own soul. And I just want to say, I think the greatest gift that we offer the church is not our gifting. It's our character. Christ did give apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers to equip the saints. We know that, and probably no two people are more fond of talking about the dynamics of those gifts than you and me. But before those gifts turn into effective ministries, they have to be carried by transformed people. And so this episode and a few others after this are going to talk about how we work on the leader before we exert the leadership. And so today's episode explores seven core commitments that sustain what we believe sustains healthy fivefold ministry and prevent gifting from outpacing formation.
That's critical to have an understanding of that. And I'm so glad we're going to talk about this today. A lot of conversations about fivefold ministry focus on discovering your gift or developing your gift, deploying your gift. But Scripture consistently emphasizes something much deeper. God forms the person before he fully trusts the platform. And those are Paul's words to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16. He says, look, watch your life and your doctrine closely. This is more than just a warning. It's really a pattern for character formation in leadership. Seven simple phrases that describe core commitments for servant leaders. Now notice Paul's order. It's not doctrine first. Life comes first. Your character is first, your habits, your example, your lifestyle. This is the pattern for these commitments, for this kind of formation. In Ephesians 4, again we talk about these ascension gifts, the gifts that Christ gave his church. He didn't merely give gifted people, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. He gave people to lead with the character of Christ. And so it's not that he just gave people, he gave mature people who equip others. And these commitments we're talking about today really help us to mature, not just the gift, but mature as people who can now function in these gifts that Christ has given his church.
Yeah, Charles, I think it's important that we revisit, I think, the foundation for fivefold ministry, at least the way you and I talk about it, and that is that it really does embody servant leadership. And the reason I can say that is because all of the five gifts, Christ's five ascension gifts, they are Christ's gifts. They embody his nature, his character, his compassion, his integrity. Everything about Christ's character serves as the substructure, I think, for really effective fivefold ministry. And so as a fivefold leader, you're a servant leader, and you're going to best bring the impact of that gift through strong character formation. Again, the formation of Christ in your life. And another reason I say it's servant leadership is because, the commitment to be a leader is not just to lead others, but honestly, it's to submit to others. You're giving yourself as a person for their empowerment and development and training and growth. And I think leadership in the kingdom again, it begins with commitments and not entitlement and not titles. So let's think of some contrasts. I think in when it comes to the world leadership, the world's idea of leadership, rather, the focus is on the power or the image, the prestige, the influence, the status, whereas kingdom leadership is built with trust and personal sacrifice, and it demands credibility and servanthood. And man, trust is that virtue, that of relationship that's earned through the commitments we make before expecting commitments from others. So you think of these in terms of fivefold ministry, as much as the apostle gets a lot of notoriety as a significant leader in the whole fivefold gift matrix, an apostle who cannot serve is in danger of becoming a controlling person. That's something the apostolic leader has to watch out for. A prophetic leader who lacks humility can become harsh and, dare I say, even aloof, and think that their words are more weighty than their influence. You have an evangelist who has the capacity to reach and to gather people, but listen, an evangelist without integrity can become manipulative. A pastor without healthy boundaries in his own life, because he's so relationally connected, can easily become exhausted, running here and there, caring for the needs of others. And so that pastor needs to develop the character that can ensure healthy boundaries in life. And man, this one's close to my heart, because I tend to have a teaching gift. And I'd say this, a teacher without intimacy with Christ merely is a conveyor of information. They're not a transformational person. And so again, that the teacher needs intimacy with Christ to create people that walk in intimacy with Christ. So again, I'd like to say fivefold ministry isn't sustained by the charisma of the gift. It's sustained by the character of Christ being formed within us. So Charles, I think we put forth some commitments today, and we're going to share those commitments that leaders should, I think they can assume and use, I think, as some kind of a way of reflecting on their own life. So let's discuss these today.
Yeah, absolutely. As we talk about these commitments, they really form our character. And I like that line that you just said, that these gifts they're not sustained by charisma, but by our character. And so for all of us in the world who aren't the flashy, you know, the ringleaders and all that, man, that's good news, because that's not what sustains the gifts. It's our character, and that these commitments really are going to go a long way in forming our character that then sustains our leadership. So the first commitment is to know God. Know God. In the spiritual formation of leaders, Chuck Miller describes the two rooms that every servant leader needs to manage. There's the soul room, and then the leadership room. He makes a critical observation. He says that the church has tended to move type A people into leadership, and the more reflective people toward prayer and spirituality. And so we end up forcing people to make an unnecessary choice between spirituality and leadership. Now look, friends, that's a choice we shouldn't have to make. Here's a great question to kind of reflect on. If ministry vanished from your life tomorrow, what would actually be left of your relationship with Jesus? If ministry was gone, if it vanished tomorrow, would my relationship with Jesus still be growing? Do I really want my ministry to grow without my relationship with Jesus also growing? What would I want people to write on my gravestone someday? He pastored a great church, or he knew God. The soul room really calls us to intimacy with Christ, apart from activity for Christ. And this is what keeps ministry from reducing us to mere performers. Our churches are full of people who, above all, they want to know that their leaders actually walk with God. And I just want to interject here. You know, Bruce, you talked about when you were talking about the teaching gift needing intimacy and how that's close to your heart. Man, I'm just, as an up-close, up-front observer of Bruce's life, who truly functions in that teaching gift, I'm just going to tell you, that is lived out in Bruce's life. I'm being sincere and authentic in this. I'm not looking for a loan or a favor later. Bruce has developed intimacy in his life that really it empowers the teaching gift. And anybody that sat in a teaching session with Bruce in whatever venue it is, that intimacy, you can tell, you know it, that the power of the teaching gift is being fueled by intimacy. And that is, I just wanted to take a moment to say that and to affirm you in that, Bruce, because that is truth. And that is a commitment that you have fully integrated in your life of knowing God. And that intimacy has empowered that teaching gift. And so, you know, when there's great examples, I think we need to point to those. And so if you don't know Bruce, take it from me. I'm his brother-in-law. I'm family, but we're also partners in ministry. And I've seen it time and time again, this commitment of knowing God, of developing intimacy, it powers that teaching gift in Bruce. And I tell you, it's an inspiration to me to want to develop my intimacy with Christ so that intimacy develops the other gifts that I tend to function in. So that's what we're talking about in this first commitment, knowing God, developing intimacy, and letting that power and launch those ascension gifts, those servant leadership gifts of Christ that He's given to the church. So if we take care of the depth of our lives, God takes care of the breadth of our influence. Look, we all want likes, we all want followers, we all want the reach, we all want the influence. But I just want to say that again, if we take care of the depth of our lives, if we'll focus on that, if we'll focus on the depth and the substance of our lives, that intimacy, God has a way of taking care of the reach and the width, the broadness of our influence. So there can another danger that can kind of crop up in this pathway of developing intimacy is kind of confusing working for Jesus with walking with Jesus. Sometimes, and I'll be the first to admit it, I can get hung up on that. I can say, well, I'm doing the work. And so obviously I must be walking. If I'm working for Christ, I must be walking with Him. But we've got to keep those things kind of separated here. And there's a fivefold application as we're talking about this. The apostles need communion before vision. Prophets need intimacy before revelation. Evangelists need love before outreach. Pastors need presence before caregiving. And teachers need worship before study. And so there's a powerful takeaway here, and it's this. Our influence grows naturally when intimacy grows intentionally. Second commitment is this. It's to pursue integrity. To pursue integrity. Integrity means wholeness. Nothing's hidden. Nothing's compartmentalized. And, you know, our gifting, if we're not careful, can often hide our brokenness temporarily. So kind of like putting a Band-Aid on a wound. Again, that's important to really grasp. Our gifting, if we're not careful, it can often hide our brokenness temporarily. Charisma can mask weakness for a limited time, but character eventually reveals what talent conceals. So here's a question to kind of ponder on. What might you still be hiding from the people who are closest to you? And what is that secrecy? What's it costing you? What might you still be hiding from those that are closest to you? And what could your secrecy, what could that be costing you? Again, we've got a fivefold application here because every gift has unique temptations. Again, apostles, it could be control. For the prophets, it could be pride. For the evangelists, chasing those numbers. For pastors, really being caught up in people-pleasing. And for teachers, kind of that puffed-up intellectual pride. But here's the bottom line. Here's the truth. Integrity protects every one of the five gifts. Integrity protects every gift.
Charles, dropping some bombs today. I was mind around integrity, how it protects every gift. And the whole idea of being intentional with our spirituality, letting our intimacy be what we focus on and letting God take care of the influence that we have. That's just worth the price of the episode right now. I'm afraid that everything that I'm tempted to say, let's put the rest of this off until next week, but we'll get through all of it. But just powerful insights already this morning. Those are the first two commitments. I can think of a couple other commitments that a leader really has to make before their leadership can really take off. And I think the third one is learning to be yourself. It's easy, man. It is so easy. It makes sense for me to sit in the world. I have a harder time seeing why it's such a big deal in a local church, but man, comparison culture is a thing. Gifting, I think, and maybe it's because the gifting tends to elevate someone else's visibility. And that can prove tempting. Listen, you can be a spiritual person and still have covetousness lingering around the heart. And so when you see someone so powerfully gifted, and again, the charisma of their gift at work, it's easy to look on that and to desire that. There are scriptural precedents for that. I think Simon, when he saw Peter being used in gifts of healing and in the prophetic in the book of Acts, you know, this guy that had just come to Christ, he begins to covet Peter's gift and even willing to pay money for it. I think there's some motivation a lot of times when it comes to our pursuit of ministries. I want to look like that. I want to operate like that. And I think it's important to remember that God didn't call you to copy someone else's style or their manner of presentation. And so I think a good reflective question around this commitment to be yourself is, whose approval are you still chasing? And what would it feel like to stop performing for them? In other words, are there any dynamic factors in your life that are those outside audiences that you're trying to win or find their approval? Again, the church doesn't need another celebrity. It needs healthy originals. Romans chapter 12 and Ephesians 4, they speak of the gifts that come. Christ has given them in varieties of ways. He's given, in fact, Romans 12, verse 6, it says, in his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. The whole idea of the five gifts in Ephesians 4, Paul, his preceding, I think, a foundational statement to understand the nature of those gifts is he says that Christ has given each of us a special gift by his generosity. So again, when Christ gives the gifts, when the Spirit empowers the gifts, they're given differently with God's design and purpose. And so if you think about it, by comparing your comparison, when you compare yourself to someone else's gift, you can really insult the wisdom of the gift giver by downplaying your giftedness and not growing in your giftedness and wanting to walk in someone else's anointing. Listen, God never called you to become someone else's anointing. God never called you to walk in someone else's anointing. A great example of this, Charles, you've thrown out some compliments to me, and I'm not trying to repay him, but I just was thinking over the weekend, you and I led a prayer model at a church on Saturday, and I'm always blown away by Charles's depth of being able to lead people in prayer, especially the way he facilitates prayer with others. And there was a prophetic reflection that one of the people in that prayer group shared, and Charles just came at it with, first of all, authority, but also just some solid leadership in the way he directed prayer out of that. And Charles, I just want to say that, you know, that kind of gift is powerful, but it also can be a coveted thing that someone else, if they're not secure in their capacities and their gifts, that they'll say, I want to do that. I want that. Now, there's nothing wrong with growing in your gift and becoming proficient in it, but don't aspire to it because you simply see it powerfully practiced in someone else's life. Remember to be yourself and to grow in your anointing that Christ has for you. So be yourself. That would be the third commitment. The fourth commitment I would say is, and this is hard. This is hard for every leader, but it's taking ownership of your responsibility. I think one of the toughest challenges in leadership is learning to govern our own hearts, taking ownership of what's happening within us instead of pinning our feelings and our actions on other people or circumstances. In other words, we blame people. We hand off responsibility for our spiritual and emotional well-being to someone else by pointing fingers, by blaming them. And when we do that, we effectively cast ourselves as victims. And so instead of operating as secure leaders, we begin to walk in labels of victimhood. And so since we typically have no control over the people that we're blaming, what you're doing is you're divesting yourself of authority, and you end up feeling helpless and frustrated. And that frustration can curdle into anger. It can be that thing which begins to surface as destructive, self-centered leadership. And the result is, now listen, the result is if you continue to practice that kind of interpersonal exchange of emotional currency, then what happens is you can begin to hurt people. You can begin to wound people through your leadership. And listen, neither we or the ministries really lead grow healthier as a result of that. Again, health, after all, is the only thing that generates more health. So it's important, again, to take ownership of what's happening on the inside of you. Don't be looking for people to blame for it. Healthy leaders need to spend time in I think daily confession and repentance. Listen, it takes an immense amount of spiritual courage to be truly honest with yourself. And if you want to be a person of influence, we have to stop trying to control what we can't and take responsibility for what we can, especially in terms of our attitudes, our behaviors, our internal thought life. So here's a reflective question I'd love to maybe help you if this is something that you see in your own life as something that needs some attention. So here's your question. When something goes wrong, where does the blame usually land? And how often does your pulpit become a place to unload some anger or some resentment that you haven't actually dealt with? When it comes to gifted ministry and the five gifts, Listen, every one of those offices, from the apostolic to the teacher, every one of those offices can act defensively when it's healthier to remain teachable. And so leadership always begins with, I may be part of the problem. There might be some things in me that I need to resolve. And I'm going to take care of me before I start, looking for others to be the change. So, Charles, those are two more. I think you have a couple for us.
Yeah, number five, commitment five is this. It's embrace change. Embrace change. And, all the experts tell us that no one likes change, but what we're saying is go against the current and embrace change. Fivefold ministry exists because the church is continually being matured and renewed. So again, here's another reflective question for today's content. Are you leading from faith toward the future, or are you leading from fear, propped up by nostalgia for what used to be? Given that change is always with us, and no growth really happens without it, effective leaders must choose to embrace it for what it is and really determined to help others through it as well. Constantly resisting change has the reverse effect. Growth doesn't happen and opportunities are lost. Now, nostalgia can really lock us into the past and make us too rigid to flex with the present. Fear can paralyze us. It can limit our future. Faith and risk-taking, on the other hand, are much more consistent with the activity of the Holy Spirit. They demand an attitude that never settles for the predictable, the mediocre, or even the safe. Growth always requires change, and it's something that we just have to reconcile with. If we're going to grow, then we're going to change. We're going to have to change. If the church is going to continue in growth, the church is going to have to change. If your organization that you're leading, if your team that you're leading, whatever it is that your hand has been put entrusted to lead, if it's going to continue in growth, it's going to require change. And so as we talk about, again, these servant leadership gifts of Christ that's been given to form the church, all five are agents of transformation. So apostles pioneer new initiatives and create new systems. Prophets call the people of God to repentance. Evangelists reach new people. Pastors shepherd people through transition. And teachers help to renew minds. So there's a great challenge here, and it's in this question. What step of faith requires more trust than certainty?
Great. The sixth commitment is leaders need to love learning. Here's something worth sitting down with. Paul was, again, if we go back to some opening words we began with from 2 Timothy chapter 4, when Paul's sitting on a prison wall near the end of his life, think about what he asked for. In 2 Timothy 4, I think it's verse 13, he asked Timothy to come and bring the parchments, the scrolls. What did he want? He wanted his books. That's the modern equivalent. We tend to picture Paul as this towering ministry leader, which he was, but we forget he's also a scholar. The man was remarkably educated for his time. And honestly, if you look at the depth and complexity of his writing, he's probably operating at a genius level. And yet somewhere along the way, I think church culture has quietly taught us the opposite lesson, that you can't be really spiritual and smart at the same time. Again, like faith and intellect are somehow in competition, but that's not what Scripture says. We're called to be constantly renewing our minds and not neglecting them. I think we all know leaders, Charles, I know I can think of leaders that feel stuck in their development. And every solution is from a bygone era. they're stuck. And I think in most cases, leaders can tend to stop being curious. So as a leader, stay curious about people. Stay curious about the world God made. Stay curious about the deep truths he's revealed to us. Stay curious about innovative systems that are working. Don't limit your library to just the things that you're interested in. Venture out. So a great reflective question is, when was the last time an idea, a book, a question genuinely stretched you, and what does the answer say about where you are intellectually? Remember, growth never stops. Your development as a leader never stops. So the best leaders remain students. So keep a healthy habit of reading, of listening, of practicing reflection, of forming questions out of curiosity. And if you think about fivefold ministry, listen, as an apostolic leader, you're going to be concerned with systems and innovation and organization. So study those. Study systems. The prophetic side, if that's where you are in leadership, then study scripture. Study the revelation of God's word. Evangelists, you're going to have to continually study culture. You know, the gospel never changes, but culture is constantly changing. And so even the culture your church had 10 years ago around it, I would venture to say, especially if you're in an urban area, that culture has dramatically shifted. Pastors have to study people. They have to know personality types, and they have to know, how people respond differently to crisis and difficulty. So pastors need to study people. And teachers need to study truth. Teachers need to not only study the content of their teaching, but keep exploring new teaching styles. Remember that not everybody learns in the same fashion. So again, these are ways I think that in fivefold ministry, we can continue to grow by being people that just love learning. So again, healthy minister, never graduate. Never graduate from your learning. Charles, close us out.
All right, absolutely. Just a quick shameless plug, since we're talking about this never graduating from learning. If you're interested in furthering your education, man, we've got a great pathway for you. It's called the SLC Education Cohort. You can we've got opportunities for you, for ministers or those looking to enter into the ministry, to obtain an associate's, even a bachelor's degree, a master's degree, a doctoral ministry degree. You can go to 5gifts.org/SLC, and there will be information there that just kind of walks you through the program and how to engage. You can contact Bruce through coachingcardia.com. I guess would be a good way to do that. And Bruce can certainly, he's the expert. He's put the program together, so he can show you the way. But we've got some cohort launching, some opportunities in the fall launching. And man, I'm telling you, if you want to be a learner, if you want to continue learning, this is a great opportunity and a great pathway to continue your educational pursuits. Bruce, anything about that you want to throw in?
I appreciate you making the plug before I wasn't even thinking that. But yeah, we have a cohort definitely in the western part of the state, another cohort in the Triad area of North Carolina. The beautiful thing about this, it's affordable. You're going to meet with a cohort, and believe me, the relationships you form in that cohort will be dynamic. And every bit as important as the content that you're going to gain in your education. And so it's affordable, it's accessible, and I just think it's a fantastic way to level up your education and to keep growing as a leader. So absolutely reach out to us again, 5gifts.org/SLC, and we can onboard you into a dynamic, I like to tell people, because I can say it with confidence, it will be the most dynamic learning experience you've ever had.
Yeah. Absolutely. And so again, healthy ministers, to reiterate what Bruce said, healthy ministers never graduate from learning, but we'd love to help you graduate with a formalized degree through the SLC cohort. So again, fivegifts.org/SLC. We'd love to see you this fall. Come join us. All right. Commitment number 7, live joyfully. Here is something that we've got to remember. The ministries that God calls us to, they're not actually ours. They don't belong to us. They belong to Him. We're stewards. We're managers of the calling and of the ministries that He's given us. And because they're here, they're His. He's the one who can carry them. Our job is not to carry the weight. It's to watch our own hearts and steward or manage what He's entrusted to us. That's it. He's the one who bears the yoke alongside us, and he's the one who makes it light. So, none of our ministries are ever going to be perfect. They never were, but we can still serve with real joy because the pressure is not on us, it's on Him. Hopefully that's encouraging to someone today, that you don't have to live under the weight because it's not your ministry. Align yourself. That's something I've really been thinking about a lot, is the issue of alignment. And what I'm discovering is that when I'm aligned with Christ, it really lifts the pressure off of me as the leader. So here's a great question to really think about and meditate on. Do you still love what you're doing, or have you quietly made yourself responsible for weight that was never yours to carry? Now here's a prayer that Dr. Jim Bradford, he's the pastor of Central Assembly of God in Springfield, Missouri. This is a prayer he prays. He says, Lord, you have another problem in your ministry. If you need my help, I'm available. Look, that's not irresponsibility. It's surrender. And fivefold ministry should never become heavier than Jesus intended. So hopefully you feel a little bit lighter as we live joyfully in these commitments.
That's a great word, Charles, and it's a word I need to hear today. Let's just recap a little bit. Remember, these 7 commitments, they cultivate the kind of leaders Christ intended when He gave the 5 gifts. Just let's go back through them. Knowing God. That's going to help produce spiritual authority in your life. Your integrity. Well, that's going to help you build the trusted relationships you need to influence in the full capacity of your gifting. Authenticity produces freedom. Responsibility is going to produce maturity. And your emotional maturity as a leader carries a tremendous weight, and it's very important that you grow, that you know yourself, and you know how you process both, not just information, but how you process emotional difficulty and conflict. Embracing change is going to help produce growth in a constantly changing landscape of culture and innovative solutions, you know, when it comes to systemic ministry. Learning is going to produce wisdom. So be a constant learner. And joy, man, that is the lifeblood of endurance. So maintain your joy. Again, healthy leaders, they create healthy churches. Remember this, please remember, the 5 gifts don't merely build ministries. They're meant to build and equip mature believers. The church is not a building. It's not even the systems that it operates in. It has to have mature believers, strong believers that are beginning to walk in leadership that help those ministries and help the church become all it can be. Formation is always going to precede the growth of multiplication. And here's the thing about commitment. Whatever those core commitments look like for you personally, they're going to shape who you become and how you lead. And more than anything else, let's start there. Let's take care of our own hearts before we try to fix everybody else's. Because at the end of the day, who you are will take you further than what you do.
Yeah, absolutely. So as we close today, I want you to resist the temptation to evaluate someone else while we've been talking, right? Don't think first about your pastor or your leadership team, your denomination, even the people that have disappointed you. Instead, ask the Holy Spirit one simple question. Lord, which one of these commitments are you inviting me to strengthen right now? Maybe he's calling you back to intimacy because ministry has become more about activity than abiding. Or maybe he's inviting you into deeper integrity, where hidden things are brought into the healing light of his grace. Maybe it's about authenticity. Maybe you've spent so much energy trying to become someone else's version of a leader that you've forgotten the unique person Christ created you to be. Perhaps it's responsibility, change, learning, simply recovering the joy that first drew you into serving Jesus.
And please remember, the five gifts were never given to produce celebrity leaders. Let's just do away with celebrity culture, and let's get back to servant leadership. They're given to produce a mature church. All the five gifts exist for that reason. And that process always begins with us. Apostles don't merely plant churches and launch new initiatives. They model surrendered lives. Prophets don't merely declare truth and lead people into God's presence. They embody repentance. And listen, they live honestly in the presence of God themselves. Evangelists don't simply preach good news. They live lives that make the gospel believable. Pastors don't only care for people, their sheep. They demonstrate the heart of the chief shepherd. And teachers don't just explain the scriptures and give out information. They themselves submit to its transforming power. The most powerful sermon you'll ever preach is the one you live life and that you deliver every day. So this week, don't focus on becoming more impressive. Focus on becoming more like Christ. Because when Christ is fully formed in his leaders, the gifts will flourish. The church is equipped, the saints are matured, and the world sees Jesus more clearly. We want to thank you for spending time with us today on the Five Gifts podcast. If today's conversation encouraged or challenged you, I'd love for you to share this episode with another ministry leader or someone exploring their place within fivefold servant leadership. And if you haven't already, subscribe so you won't miss future conversations as we continue to explore how Christ's gifts equip his church for every good work. Your greatest ministry is not what you accomplish for Christ, but what Christ accomplishes in you. And we'll see you next week on the Five Gifts podcast. Please invite listeners, your friends to come and be part of the podcast. We're going to list the seven reflection questions down in the comments below. And we want to encourage you, if you want to take the next step in growing as a leader, you can find solid leadership coaching. You can reach out to Charles at charlesrussellministries.com and charlesrusselltraining.com. You can also reach out to me at coachingcardia.com. Remember, before we ask, what is my gift, we should be asking, who am I becoming? Because that's the most enduring ministry before you. That's the one that's deep, that's built on the deepest formation. Thanks again for joining us on the Five Gifts podcast. We'll see you next week. You've been listening to the Five Gifts podcast. If you would like to take the next step as a spiritual leader, we invite you to visit either of our websites or contact us for leadership coaching. We can help you reach the next level in your own growth and leadership. We provide leadership, spiritual gift, and personality assessments that give you a better grasp of your leadership style. And we also create a customized growth plan that empowers you to reach your full kingdom potential. We can't wait to hear from you.